Have you been searching for a rewarding career as labor, skilled labor, or lead man supervisor? Premier Structures may have the career you've been looking for. Premier Structures offers three stages of profit sharing, 70% of health insurance covered for individuals, and plenty of room for growth. Premier Structures is located in Athens, Alabama, and serves all of North Alabama, and is licensed in Alabama and Tennessee. To find your career with Premier Structures, go to premierstructures.com or give them a call at 256-232-2092.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motor Homes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motor Homes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorHomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motor Homes.
With locations in Tuscumbia, Florence, Muscle Shoals, Russellville, Killen, Madison, and Athens, Singing River Dentistry provides the most advanced dental care, including same-day crowns and implants, in a compassionate and friendly atmosphere. They excel in educating their patients and themselves about the benefits of keeping a healthy smile for a lifetime. The care of their patients is the center of their practice. They value their patients' time, trust, and total health. For more information about their practice or to request an appointment, go to SingingRiverDentistry.com.
Need the perfect fit? Whether it's hemming pants, altering a wedding gown, or giving your favorite outfit a brand new look, Coronation Tailoring and Alterations has you covered. We're your local experts in custom tailoring right here on Highway 72 next to 306 Barbecue in Athens, Alabama. Stop by today or call 256-444-0077 to schedule your fitting. That's Coronation Tailoring and Alterations, where your style is always in good hands.
For all your
strawberry
needs, I suggest J. Calvert Farm. Located 3 miles south of Dodge City on Highway 69, exit 299 off Interstate 65. J. Calvert Farm currently has
strawberry.
Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farm in Dodge City, Alabama.
J. Calvert Farm, strawberries. Let's go, Daddy.
Hey, everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference. Somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you can join us today as we're talking about a very important subject, and that is water competency. Thanks to Jeff Scarborough putting this on my radar, I have on the line with me right now Kristen Stitt, who is managing partner of North Alabama Swim Schools and Safe Splash Swim Labs in Huntsville and Madison. Kristen, welcome to The Mark White Show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Kristen, just to start out, before we talk about the swim schools and water safety, I'd like people to know your background. You've spent years in healthcare leadership. How did that experience shape the way you look at swim instruction?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, over the course of the last 25 years, you start off, you know, doing basics. So basically, I was a nurse in trauma and also then in ICU, moved on to cardiac care. And just seeing the, you know, how wellness and illness, there's an intersection there. Unfortunately, we focus more on illness than we do wellness. But my focus eventually became towards population health and how to improve the population of the communities that you live in and are surrounded by and take care of people that are in it. And then use of the best evidence in order to do that. Later on in my career, I had a heavy focus on value-based healthcare. So how do we spend our money and our time to absolutely get the best value and outcomes for patients? And so I literally took that, extrapolated it to swimming and to the community that we live in, specifically focusing on drowning prevention, and was off to the races. So it was a very good fit. Sometimes it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, tell people I feel like I've done more for the betterment of population health in the last 4 years doing this than I did in the prior 20 working with large health systems across the U.S. So I think all healthcare is local. This is a very good example of that, just from a different, you know, perspective as far as a swim school owner.
Along those lines, Kristen, when you moved from healthcare into aquatics, what did you see that made you feel this work was not just a business, but a public health issue?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that I did a lot of was gap analysis, right? So what we see in an issue, you know that you want to improve an outcome, what's missing in that? And so that was really one of the first things that I did was a gap analysis to say, okay, what's being provided in our community and what's the issue? Drowning is the leading cause of death in kids age 1 to 4, second leading cause of death in kids age 5 to 14. As a state, unfortunately, Alabama is 6th in the worst incidence of drowning across the U.S. We have a lot of water here. People love water. It's hot. And so states that tend to have more, you know, accessible water are going to have higher drowning rates. So that's where I really started with saying, okay, how could I have a business? I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I've had that my entire life. What could I do with something that I know was a known need or a gap and improve, outcomes for people, specifically kids who are some of our most vulnerable? I think the other thing is that there's a lack of awareness about those unfortunate statistics about drowning being the leading cause of death in our kids. We hyper-focus on other things, you know, like seatbelts, bicycle helmets, stranger danger, et cetera. And we don't have any unified system of how to inform or educate parents, including new parents, right, about the risk that's going to most likely to end up in accidental death for their children. So I think that was probably where I started was that basic gap analysis.
There may be a lot of parents out there who say that their child knows how to swim. From your perspective, why can that phrase sometimes create a false sense of security?
Gosh, you are speaking my language right there. So one of the things is, you know, I love clear definitions. Swimming is a very nebulous concept. If we ask 5 people what it meant to swim, we would get 5 different answers. There is no good definition of that that's known in literature or known in even in general population. And so that's one of the things that I really, really am passionate about is when we talk about swim and we talk about learn to swim, putting hard standards and definitions around that. And from that point, you can then hold people accountable, i.e. like me, who has own a swim school, to say, what are you doing? How are you teaching my kid to learn to swim, to be competent? And what exactly does that mean? So the best definition that is out there and exists in literature is a term called water competency. It's not my term. I wish it were, but I love it. It is in literature from the American Academy of Pediatrics, American Red Cross, National Drowning Prevention Alliance. CDC talks about it as well in their position statement, as well as the WHO. And so instead of just saying learn to swim, it's a term called water competency, and it puts measurables around what you should expect. So basic water competency is if you fall in or jump into water that's over your head, you're able to kick to the surface, protect your airway, turn yourself around in a simple tread to say there's an exit. And then here's the kicker, be able to maneuver yourself through locomotion at least 75 feet and then have the strength or the endurance to then exit the body of water that you're in. It does not have to be a legal stroke. It does not have to be swim team worthy. It can be a combination of front float, back float, rollovers, safety bobs, treading, dog paddle. As long as you can maneuver yourself through basic locomotion with a kick to go that 75 feet, then that's water competency. It's not just about swim skills, though, and this is where there's, I think, a huge lack of information and discrepancy. It's also about something called water smarts. So understanding risks that are associated with any body of water and a And anyone, really, anyone can drown, even if you can swim, getting into that body of water and what you should expect or potentially anticipate. So Water Smarts talks about more things like always jump in feet first, never swim alone, never use alcohol or any other kind of, you know, substance that's going to alter your ability to think straight or make a good decision. If you have an infant or a toddler or a younger child who has no water capacity, if they're in the pool, you need to be in the pool with them at an arm's distance away, or they need to be in a life jacket. And that's not floaties. That's something that's a U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket. And then if you own a pool, have barriers, fences, alarms, et cetera. And then one of the big ones, I'm a huge proponent of this, is everyone should know basic CPR and know how to rescue, throw, not go. You'll hear tragic stories of people who try to rescue somebody that gets into trouble in water, and both of them end up drowning. That happens way, way, way too frequently. And so it's understanding those things about water, how to act in and around water, that will help keep you safe.
And Kristen, you've been involved with advocacy and policy through the U.S. Swim School Association. Are there any changes you would like to see nationally when it comes to water competency standards?
Yes, there are several. I think probably my one that I'm most fervent about would be education in school systems. So adding basic water competency, what we just talked about, with the addition of some pool safety rules like, you know, jump in feet first, don't chew gum, don't run on the deck. So there's pool safety and then there's water safety. So a combination of those things and then leaning towards water competency. Even if we provide that information through a basic physical education programming or health class, that we would do that across all 50 states. Certain states, are about six right now, already have that in place. Virginia just passed legislation, so that's going to be provided in their elementary and lower school curriculum. So I would love to see that happen. As well, you know, if we could ever get to swim lessons, I think following probably the Australian or New Zealand model, where you know, if your child doesn't take swim lessons, you're potentially could, you know, be arrested for it if they go to a pool and you don't have your water safety card. So they take that education fundamentally at grassroots level very, very seriously. So I'd like to see us as a, you know, as a country kind of move a little bit towards the educational piece of it, just like we have bike safety, just like we have, you know, like car seat checks, et cetera, that we had water safety baked into some of those curriculums as well. Additionally, I think every new set of parents that leaves the hospital should have basic water safety education in their packet, whether it's in part of their prenatal care or immediately after, you know, they welcome a new baby into their home, that we start that early talking about water safety. And here's the kicker, is risk change. So it's not a one size fits all. It's not just knowing one or two things, but the risk of drowning changes as your child develops and as they age. So, you know, a big one is if you're a baby, an infant, it's bathtubs, or it's, you know, going into a open water, like it could be a bucket, it could be the stool. So thinking along those lines about how you protect your home and your environment and then your infant as well, never, you know, use your phone while you're giving them a bath, et cetera. But then as that infant turns into a toddler and they become mobile, the risk changes. They're mobile, they're fast, they're quick, they love water. So you have to change your mindset a little bit about what interventions you're going to take to mitigate the risk. Once again, as they become 5 to 14, it's going to change again, and they become more bold. Risk assessment, still prefrontal cortex is still not developed, and so they can't make good decisions. They can't say, yeah, that's a little bit risky, I'm not going to do it. And then as you get beyond 14, young men specifically sometimes are overconfident in their swimming abilities. And so understanding that risk along with age and development, specifically child development, and as you continue into adulthood, is extremely important.
Kristen, on a local level, thinking about what you said about parents who are bringing a new baby into the world, is there any way that you could connect locally yourself to the Huntsville Hospital system and have some paperwork that's put into those packets?
Yes, absolutely. We are working on that literally as we speak. So Huntsville Hospital has been such a gracious host for us and for our business as well. So they understand, you know, population health and how to improve the health of populations and have been extremely receptive to some recommendations we have made about how to better educate new parents. So we currently are working on an initiative. It's called Waves That Save. And it's a month-long swimathon that's going to kick off in June. And all the proceeds of that swimathon will go to Huntsville Hospital Women and Children's Emergency Department, partially for capital equipment that they might need. But then secondarily, it's a year-long kind of initiative that we're undertaking is to put peer-reviewed and, you know, evidence-based literature in discharge planning packets or discharge planning information for every person that visits the emergency room and gets discharged, and then also in all new mother, baby, or family packets of all births across Madison County. Ideally, what we would like to do is use Huntsville and Madison and Madison County kind of as an example for the state of Alabama. And so take this and then replicate it. So it's a rinse and repeat. Once we get the process down, we show benefit. We show people how to do it, where to get the information, make sure it's consistent and high quality information, that we could do this across the state. And then hopefully next step across the Southeast, and then, you know, just continue from there. So that's our goal. Sounds a little lofty, but you have to start somewhere. Grassroots efforts and finding great partners are the way to do it.
Right now, folks, we're talking with Kristen Stitt. She's managing partner of North Alabama Swim Schools and Safe Splash Swim Labs in Huntsville and Madison. Kristen is helping us understand water safety isn't about fear. It's about preparation, clarity, and giving families the tools they need to make wise decisions around the water. When we come back, we're going to talk more about swimming as a lifelong skill, the benefits for children and adults, adaptive aquatics, and why Kristen believes swimming helps build people who are truly built for life. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. With the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. Hydration Lounge, located in Athens, Alabama, now offers medical weight loss consultations. We discuss nutrition, diet, and lifestyle, as well as prescription medication. Visit us at hydrationl.com for more information.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
Losing a loved one is hard, but losing a loved one and not having an estate plan is even harder. Attorney Harlan Mitchell witnessed what not having an estate plan can do to families and decided to use his experience to do something about it. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884. Again, that website is BamaEstatePlanning.com. Let Harlan Mitchell help you with estate planning. Do it for those you love and do it today.
This is William Lee Golden with Elkridge Boys. I want to invite you to join Mark White on The Mark White Show and find out how to be encouraged in life, regardless of who you are.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. It's my privilege right now to have Kristen Stitt, managing partner of North Alabama Swim Schools and Safe Splash Swim Labs in Huntsville and Madison. In the first segment, we talked about drowning prevention and water competency, and we're going to look now at swimming as something even broader, a life skill, a confidence builder, a developmental tool, and a sport that can serve people from childhood through adulthood. Welcome back to the show, Kristen.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you. You refer to swimming as the first and forever sport. What do you mean by that?
It's very interesting. You know, parents are always looking for something to just give their child the absolute best experience they can through childhood, whether it's through development, you know, make them smarter, faster, stronger. There's one activity, one sport that does that, and it is swimming, believe it or not. So not only does it, you know, prevent from the leading cause of accidental death, which is drowning, it's one of the five layers of protection that we talk about, but just developmentally, swimming is phenomenal. So we could talk about emotionally how swimming will help regulate emotions, how it helps develop executive function. You know, when you're moving both parts of your body in conjunction with one another, as well as trying to control your breathing, that skill alone can help a child just understand how to make better decisions, how to function, how their thoughts focus, et cetera. So emotionally, cognitively, physically, it's a fantastic exercise for both muscle development, cardiovascular fitness, et cetera. And so reducing any of those risks for childhood obesity, sedentary lifestyle, et cetera. And then I think socially, when you talk about kids and swimming together, and you're talking about that's some of the most fun times that you can have as a kid is going to the pool or to the lake with friends. You want to be safe. You want to understand how to swim, and participating in that activity is phenomenal. For me, our family has greatly benefited from competitive swim. So my daughter started swimming about age three, first swim team age five, and then joined HSA here in Huntsville, third grade when we moved to town. And that was truly, I mean, just, I could almost see the difference in her with each 2 to 3 years about how she had matured and decision-making, et cetera. It builds such strong confidence, as well as just an understanding of hard work and dedication. You won't find probably anybody that's a harder worker than a competitive swimmer, just because it's grueling. I mean, it's literally, you know, 3 to 4 hours a day in the pool, getting up early mornings, sometimes 4 a.m. to get to either dry land practice or competitive swim. So from an overarching perspective, if you truly want someone that is built for life, hitting what I would say high quality markers across different stages of development, you really can't beat swimming. Now, as an adult, swimming is also fantastic. So cardiovascular fitness, you know, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, that's kind of what I worked in when I was in healthcare, leading cause of death in men and women, both. Second leading cause of spend in healthcare. So it's a big issue that we're talking about. And a lot of times people can't exercise or do good cardiovascular aerobic activity because of other issues. So whether it's joint pain, whether, you know, it's like just it hurts to exercise, et cetera. Swimming is a great alternative for that. So, and then from the same perspective, if you do water aerobics classes or go to the pool, the social activity, particularly for people who are in maybe their 6th, 7th, or 8th decades of life who are facing loneliness or lack of social interaction, you're going to get the benefit of that as well with swimming. So I'm a huge proponent. You probably know that. I'm a little bit biased because I own a swim school, but I actually went about that the reverse way. I understood the benefits of swimming and wanted to continue to provide that to our community. So,
Kristen, let's move into adaptive aquatics and the importance of children with autism, sensory differences, physical challenges, or developmental differences when the necessity is that they learn some swimming skills.
Yes, correct. So kids on the spectrum, or any kids with special abilities, are about 160 times more likely to drown than kids who are neurotypical. The reason for that is multifold. Sometimes we have, you know, the desire to kind of block out stimuli. And so going underwater creates an environment that is so comforting to a lot of kids. The movement of the water can attract and draw them. Hey, that's shiny. It looks pretty. I want to go into it. And then just elopement behaviors sometimes can play an impact as well. So if you have a pool, if you have water in or around or near your house, if you're going on vacation, going to have, you know, go to the lake, the beach, or, you know, have a pool at your rental house, you have to be, I mean, like hyper vigilant about what your water safety plan is. One of the things that we do along with teaching swim lessons, so we alter our curriculum, we adapt our curriculum so that we can have the best experience for both the swimmer and the family, and try to teach basic water competency skills to all kids on the spectrum or not. But is to do the educational piece, is to say, look, you need to realize that everybody's at risk for drowning. Your child has a super higher rate or incidence of drowning because of the factors that you deal with every day. So that's what our focus is here, is to understand that, make sure we're educating again, and then providing a service that we can address and overcome some of those issues.
Kristen, for adults who never learned to swim, what would you say to them?
It's never too late. You know, we want to once again recognize that an adult learner requires a different approach than a child, right? A 7 or 8 year old who's never learned to swim. So recognizing that, come on, we can teach you how to swim, but it's going to be from an adult learning perspective, how we approach it. We, you know, there's once again, a continuum of swimming skills. And then another thing is, one of the first questions we ask our adult swimmers is, what's your goal? We ask everybody that, but it's particularly important as an adult because, you know, you don't have a lot of time, you're working generally. So what's your goal here and how can we best help you achieve that goal? But we're going to focus on whether you're a new, never been in the water type of swimmer, or maybe have a little bit of fear of the water, some aquaphobia, versus you're a swimmer who's maybe took some classes as a youngster or a child and didn't ever fully develop that water competency level, and then put you in the correct class, first of all, so you're not uncomfortable, put you in a small group session, and then teach you like an adult the basics of what you want to learn. Never too late. Great exercise. Even if it's letting you feel comfortable enough to go to a public pool, grab a kickboard and exercise for 30 minutes, it's something you won't regret.
And if a parent's listening right now and realizing that their child may not be as water competent as they thought, what's the first step they should take, Kristen?
Yeah, I think the first step is to, one, do some basic education. National Drowning Prevention Alliance has a fantastic website that talks about water competency, about the 5 layers of protection to prevent against accidental drowning. And it also offers one of the things that I highly encourage anybody who's going to make the investment in swim lessons to do. And it's a list of questions that you should ask your swim lesson provider about how they approach swim lessons and teach somebody how to swim. And it's a very generic form and it is non-proprietary. So it is applicable to somebody who's doing backyard lessons versus somebody like me who has a formal curriculum. That helps you make an educated decision about who you want to choose to be your swim lesson provider, and then what you should do to hold them accountable to the outcome. Once again, you're not buying a swim lesson, you're buying an outcome. The outcome should be that we're making your child water competent or going towards water competency, so we all have a clear definition of what that looks like when we get there.
Kristen Stitt, I want to thank you for joining me here on the Mark White Show today and for helping us better understand the importance of water competency, drowning prevention, and swimming as a skill that can serve a person for life. And this conversation is a reminder that swim lessons aren't just another activity on the calendar. When taught with purpose and clear standards, swimming can build safety, confidence, discipline, resilience, and opportunity. I appreciate you joining me on the Mark White Show today, Kristen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Please, everyone, if you're listening, to as you head into this holiday season, particularly grab a life jacket. You won't regret it unless your child is a very strong swimmer, and have a safe holiday.
Here on The Mark White Show, we are recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire. And I hope you are encouraged and inspired by today's show, and that you'll share it with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Let them know about The Mark White Show and what we're doing to make an impact in our communities around the country and the world. I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram, and also subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show, and this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Hello?
Hey, Dad. I've got a quick question. Have you got a sec?
Sure, son. Just throwing the ball for Rufus. What's up?
So, I found a couple shingles in our yard. I'm pretty sure we need a new roof, but I'm not sure who to call.
Well, your mother and I have always used Thompson Roofing, 256 Roofing.
ChatGPT told me to look for someone local, licensed, insured, and has recognized expertise.
Well, 256 Roofing.
Of course I'm going to need someone I can, you know, trust.
Right. 256 Roofing.
Okay, I'm on Thompson Roofing's website, 256roofing.com, but I think I'll just call. What's their number?
Son, 256 Roofing.
Roofing. You know, I feel like I've heard that before. Thanks, Dad.
You don't just want a roof. You want your home protected by people who respect it. Thompson Roofing and Construction is local, proven, and offer the strongest warranties in Alabama. They provide confidence from the top down.
What's that number again?
256 Roofing.
When you need it, Greens has it. At Greens Dependable Hardware in Russellville, Alabama, we've been helping our neighbors get the job done for over 75 years. From tools and paint to plumbing and lawn care, we've got the brands you trust and the service you deserve. Our knowledgeable staff is always ready to help you find exactly what you need, and with a smile. Stop by Greens Dependable Hardware on Highway 43 in Russellville or call 256-331-0123. Greens Dependable Hardware, the name says it all.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. With the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
Demo the kitchen. Go tour the Dream College. We can help you get to those moments that matter. Contact Brad Wallace, your Edward Jones financial advisor, on Hughes Road in Madison, Alabama. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
When they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.